Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Going on, everybody. Welcome into episode number 627 of Underground Sports Philadelphia, presented by the city of Vineland. It's KB and Pitts coming at you from Underground Studios. We got a lot to dive into from the fightins. Sixers had a gutsy win to come back and beat the Spurs as Tyrese Maxey drops another 50 burger on the heads of the NBA. The Flyers playoff hopes are dwindling, and Pat Pitts was at WrestleMania, so we will talk about that at the end of the show. But before we get into everything, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at Underground PHI on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. Follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311 and on Instagram and Threads at KBIZZLE11. Follow Pitsy on Twitter at Pat_Pitts and at Pitsy35 on Instagram and Threads. Subscribe to the podcast feed. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. But those two in particular, we can see the numbies, and it really does help when you guys subscribe, when you download the show, when you listen, obviously. So keep subscribing. Apple, Spotify, leave a 5-star rating and review. It really does go a long way for helping this show continue to grow, lets us do more dope stuff, hit more milestones, and allows this company to continue growing. And of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia, where you get full video episodes of this show twice a week, full video episodes of every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams, original video content, highlights. It's all on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. Smash that like button, ring the bell icon, leave a comment down below. We're at 759 subscribers right now, gained a decent amount over the weekend. Keep subscribing. Let's get to 800 subscribers before the end of the month. Let's make that happen, people. Let's keep it pushing and get the subscriber train rolling, because the faster we get to 1,000 subscribers, even more dope stuff will be able to happen. So keep subscribing, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. And of course, this show is presented by the City of Vineland, and the City of Vineland Municipal Calendar features city-organized, city-sponsored, and city-affiliated events that are of public interest. Pitts, you've been in Vineland for about a week now. How's
Dude,
it been?
I'm a big fan of Vineland. I'm like a really big fan of Vineland. After the nonsense that we had to deal with your car, we got the luxury.
That kind of was a key piece of the weekend. No, but then we get to walk around Vineland,
and to be honest, it felt like home to me. So I really loved it.
Pitsy started pulling up the Zillow ads, and
you guys have nice fish markets around here.
We got everything here,
okay,
brother.
I can maybe.
The municipal calendar is accessible at VinelandCity.org. It's a good way for residents and visitors to build awareness, remain engaged with city government, and participate in local events. You can also follow the City of Vineland on social media via their Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube pages. And through these tools, you can stay connected to the community and get important announcements about programs and services offered by the city. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Security 21 Security Systems and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated for their continued support of this podcast. Let's dive into the fight in Phils. The Phils win their first series of the season against the Nationals. It is brought to you by our awesome merch partners at PHI Apparel Company, the best merch in the game, from shirts and hoodies and exclusive Philly sports merch and Underground Sports Philadelphia podcast merch. PHI Apparel Company is the place to go if you want to stand out in the crowd. You can do that supporting the Phillies, the Flyers, the Sixers, the Union, the Eagles, and of course your favorite Underground Sports Philadelphia podcast. Go to phiapparel.co and use code underground at checkout for 10% off your order. most effective and direct way to support us in a monetary way. When you get your merch, tweet it at us, post it. We'll repost it everywhere. So go to phiapparel.co so you can stand out in the crowd and use code underground for 10% off your merch orders. Phil's take 2 out of 3 in D.C. against the Washington Nationals. Should have swept, but, you know, I'm not going to overly gripe about not pulling off a sweep in early April. It's one of those things that the talking heads on sports radio want to do. That's not my shtick. Does it suck to not sweep? Absolutely. Against an inferior team, am I going to belabor it and make it be the end-all, be-all of this season? No. There are more pressing issues for this team at this point in the season than worrying about not pulling off a sweep. You won a series. That's what baseball's all about. You take 2 out of 3, you win a series. I will take that every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Phil just didn't get done on a Sunday. But you win the series, and I think the biggest thing to take away from the game so far through 9 games is the Phillies pitching, outside of a couple blips on the radar, have been fantastic, and the offense just has not been up to par. The guys need to lock in hitting-wise, and it's still early in the season. It's 9 games in. Guys will figure out their swings, but there's some guys that, like, early in the season shouldn't be getting days off that are, and guys that probably need to have a day off to kind of just, like, mental reset. I know it's early, but some guys need it. They should be getting the days off. I need it to be known that this podcast is pro. Brandon Marsh is an everyday player.
Stand.
He needs to be in the lineup every single day. I don't know why he's getting days off against, like, mid-left-handers. There's no need for it. Let Brandon Marsh play every day. He's hitting the ball well. He's seeing the ball well. He's playing solid outfield defense like you know he can. I get trying to play Johan Rojas and letting him figure things out early in the season. But, man, is he killing this lineup.
He's not, is he one of the guys that's hitting, like, in the hundreds?
He's I don't even know if he's hitting that.
Because I heard some stat when we were driving that there's, like, 3 guys that are hitting.
I know Nicky C's hitting, like, 138.
That was it.
He's just off to a rough start. Trey Turner's hitting, like, 222, and he's off to a rough start. But then at the bottom, and I said this going into the season, your lineup's not going to make or break with one guy at the bottom of the lineup not hitting. Your number 9 hitter is your number 9 hitter. If he gets on, awesome. If he doesn't, you know, the rest of the lineup needs to step up in lieu of the inferior right now hitting of Johan Rojas. You have 8 other guys in the lineup that are hitting that aren't getting the job done. This team is too talented to only be scoring 2 runs in a game. They need to figure some things out there. Bryson Stott should be playing every day. Brandon Marsh should be playing every day. And let's get some more Christian Pache in center field to help with getting on base. He's at least hitting the ball a little bit. You go to St. Louis now for 3, a team that you should be able to take at least 2 out of 3 from, win another series, get back to 500 at least, hopefully, and figure some things out. But there's some things that the Phillies need to work on, and it'll figure itself out. The other fun part of the past week with the Phils is the City Connect jersey release happened on Friday. I was there, and I got to tell everyone, the City Connect jerseys in person are awesome. I think there's a lot that goes into why they look great. I can't wait to see them under the lights at Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies will be wearing the City Connect jerseys every Friday night home game. They're going to look awesome under the lights with the color scheme that they are. And I got the opportunity to have a couple minutes with Phillies majority owner John Middleton at the Phillies block party that they had. And he said, "You're exactly right. I can't wait to see them on the guys under the lights." They look awesome in person. I think a big part of that is, for whatever reason, the City Connect jerseys have the regular giant number font and the regular giant nameplate font, as opposed to these new garbage jerseys that Fanatics is trotting out on these players that look terrible. I think that helps make them look better and aesthetically pleasing. I know it's a very divisive topic on whether you like or hate the City Connect jerseys. I think I said it best. People, you don't hate the City Connect jerseys. You hate that they're different because you don't like change. I think they look awesome. I can't wait to see them on the guys. I got the new hat, and the hats look
Fuego.
Sweet.
Fuego.
So cool. They had a ton of merch. I'm working on piecing together a video to showcase everything that was in the store that I'll hopefully be able to have out later this week on our socials. But in person, the merch, the jerseys, the hats, everything looks so clean, so dope. It was a really cool event. The Phillies did a great rollout with the City Connect jerseys. And I think the only bad part was that it was just super windy on Friday. And
oh, my God.
That was really it. So it was nothing that was had anything to do with the actual jerseys or the actual like block party or anything. It was a really awesome event. I got to meet John Kruk and Milt Thompson and get a picture with them. Hashtag up to something season a little bit there. I'll leave a little teaser of breadcrumbs there.
Yeah.
But we are actively working right now to get a couple big time names with the Phillies organization on the show. So stay tuned for that one.
Stay tuned.
But
I love the City Connect because of the detail that they went into.
Mm-hmm.
Like as an outsider, and you showing me the video of, you know, what it goes into it, you know, why they went with this font and then this color and then the stars on the hat, why they kept that. Like, it's just little stuff like that that when it goes
the
into
the hype video was fantastic.
Phenomenal.
Fantastic.
So when it's stuff like that that goes into a jersey and, like you said, with the font, to me that is a sign that Fanatics knows they fucked up a little bit and are like, you know what, let's like...
Because this is a Nike thing, too. Like, the City Connect thing is a Nike initiative, not a Fanatics initiative. So I think that also plays a part in it, is that this is a Nike-issued jersey. And I know Nike is the jersey sponsor for everything, but Fanatics is the designer and, like, manufacturer is the word I'm looking for, of the jerseys this year. But the City Connects are a Nike initiative, so I think Nike is the manufacturer of those, and that's why they look different.
So then they see those names on the jersey, and then they figure out, like, all right, they fixed the problem. To me, it just it's putting the Fanatics in even more of a bad light mm-hmm. with the regular jerseys.
Well, did you see the video of Carlos Estevez from the Angels? They had their home opener weekend this weekend.
I potentially did.
They were on the red carpet and everything, and he's out there signing autographs, and a fan hands him their jersey to get signed, and it's like the old school, like, jersey that, you know, before, I think it was even before Nike, it might have been a Nike jersey, but he picks it up and he's like, and then he holds it side by side to the jersey that's on his back and he's like, this one's real.
Bars. Just put him on blaze, bro. He's putting him on blazed. That's crazy. I mean, it's so bad when you have the players speaking out against it, because
they're see-through. The jerseys are see-through.
Yeah, you know, if I wanted to see nude men, I'd just look up dirty stuff on the internet. I don't need to turn on MLB.
Pause.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just...
But
I'm,
the other cool part about the City Connects that we'll see on Friday is the batting helmets are matte batting helmets. They're not gloss, which I like a lot for this particular jersey. The matte finish on the helmet looks very clean. I'm excited to see them on the guys. I'm pulling the picture up here for you now so you can see. It's a matte finish.
Oh, I like that glossy. A lot.
It looks great.
That looks so much cleaner. Yeah, I'm a big fan of those.
I can't wait. And, you know, the Fanatic was at the block party wearing the jersey. It looked great on the Fanatic bouncing off the green. And, I mean, it was really, really cool. The Phillies did such a great job with the rollout of the City Connects. The block party was fantastic. They had food trucks galore, DJs on deck. They had a big screen to show the Phillies game that night so you could watch it out outside the ballpark.
Cool.
They did a really, really great job on Friday with the rollout there. But the Phillies right now sitting in second place. But a big-time rival, which I saw on Baseball Tonight last night, I think it was Tim Kirkjian. They were doing the top five rivalries in baseball right now.
Ooh.
Tim Kirkjian said, number one, Phillies Braves. Tough to argue.
Right now, you're
tough
saying.
To argue. Current, right now. Current.
Yes.
Phillies Braves. Both teams hate each other. Both teams' fans hate each other. Yeah, there's playoff implications every year the past 2 years with those teams.
Absolutely.
I love that the Phillies are a mainstay baseball rivalry now with another very good team. Like, I hate the Braves, but I can respect how good they are. And it sucks that one of their key players is more than likely out for the season and more than likely part of next season.
Acuna?
Spencer Strider is headed for Tommy John surgery.
That was who it was. Okay. I saw
He was pitching his second start of the season, felt something weird in his elbow. They did an x-ray. He's got UCL damage. He's already had Tommy John surgery once, so this would be his second Tommy John surgery of his career. And not only is it Spencer Strider, it's Yuri Perez from the Marlins, Shane Bieber from the Guardians, and baseball is at a point where GMs and owners and the higher-ups on teams the past decade and a half have prioritized with pitchers velocity, 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 velocity. You need to throw 100 miles an hour. You need to be a flamethrower to be on a major league roster. And that's just simply not the case. You can get away with throwing a 93, 94 mile an hour fastball, and if you have the off-speed stuff to like complement that, you can be a very successful pitcher. See Aaron Nola. See Zach Wheeler, who probably tops out at like 96 right now. And Zach Wheeler back in the day had Tommy John surgery, but he figured things out and realized, oh, I don't need to be a hard-throwing 100-mile-an-hour flamethrower. I can mix pitches in and be just fine. Look at Ranger Suarez, and I know I'm listing off a bunch of Phillies, but that's my direct comparisons
we
there.
In the underground of
and
Philly.
In 2008, look at who was on that roster in the rotation and was very dominant and good for you the entire season and in the World Series, Jamie Moyer at age like 45.
God, I miss
was throwing
Jamie
like
Moyer.
72-mile-an-hour off-speed pitches and getting guys out. You don't need to be a hard-throwing pitcher all the time. And baseball has kind of lost a step where they prioritized velocity over control. And a pitching motion is already awkward enough. Your arm is not supposed to do what it does when you're throwing a baseball at those high speeds. And when you're doing that in a constant motion, you're setting yourself up for disaster. It sucks that Spencer Strider is injured, and like, I know I hate the Braves. I can't stand Spencer Strider pitching against the Phillies, but he's a fucking great pitcher. And I, whenever the Phillies play the Braves, I want them to be at their best because I want my top competition at their best versus our top competition at their best. So for Spencer Strider to be out, it sucks. And you never want to see that. And I hope Spencer Strider has a healthy and complete recovery from this, but this also opens up a huge window of opportunity for the Phillies, where the Braves, their biggest Achilles heel has been their pitching. They've got a great lineup batting-wise. They can hit with the best of them. But you look at their pitching, there's a lot of question marks around that pitching staff, and Spencer Strider was like the one key to keeping things afloat in that pitching staff. Max Fried looks terrible. And after that, you've got Charlie Morton pitching for you, who's been successful for the Braves, but he's older. And after that, it's like, who are you throwing out there? This is an opportunity for the Phillies to take advantage of that and distance themselves from the Braves in the month of April, when the Braves have to play against teams like this over the next month versus what the Phillies competition is. I'll read off their schedule upcoming. So the Braves somehow kept getting away and swept the Diamondbacks over the weekend, but the Braves have the Mets right now, and then they have the Marlins. But after this week, this is the Braves schedule. They're at Houston, home against Texas, home against Miami, home against the Guardians, at Seattle, at the Dodgers, home against the Red Sox. That's not an easy schedule when you have the defending World Series champions in there. You have the Houston Astros in there. You have Seattle. You have Cleveland. You have the Dodgers. Like, that's a tough schedule.
You have the Red Sox. They're off to a hot start this season. And then their pitching's been great.
You look at the Philly schedule upcoming. You've got the Cardinals and the Pirates this week. And the Pirates have been off to a great start this year, so they're not a slouch. But then the Phillies have the Rockies, the White Sox, both at home. Then you're at Cincinnati, at San Diego, at the Angels, home against San Francisco, home against Toronto, at Miami, at the Mets, home against the Mets, home against the Nationals. You have Texas at home. Then you're at Colorado, at San Francisco, home against St. Louis, home against Milwaukee, and then you go to London.
So that's all.
There's a lot of winnable series upcoming for the Phillies over the next 2 months.
Yeah, before they go to London.
Take advantage of this opportunity that's in front of you. The offense needs to lock the fuck in, start scoring at a rate that they are more than capable of doing, and the Phillies could find themselves with a potential 3-4 game lead in the division if things break their way and the Braves fall off against some of these upcoming opponents, that the Phillies have a division lead for the first time in I don't even know how long. Like, I'm going to look that up now, but yeah, like this is an opportunity for the Phillies to take advantage of.
You need to take advantages at this time of year because this is where you can really separate yourself from the competition. And these games, the what you just said, there were some winnable games in there. The Marlins, that's a winnable series. Trying to think of another one. Mets, they're not off to a good start this season. Right?
No, they're terrible.
They're awful. Wait, no, yeah. Who didn't they just get someone who got hurt? So, like, yeah. Those are easy.
They stink. Like, I don't even remember the last time the Phillies were in first place in the NL East. It has been a long time. So, like, you have an opportunity here to really take advantage, and your pitching has done more than enough to put you in those situations. And I know the Braves are a difficult team. The Reds are an up-and-coming team, so losing there, and you also had weather factors in that series. But you got to be able to take advantage of these lesser opponents, and that's why it kind of sucks that you don't sweep the Nationals. But you got to go into these next 2 months and really put pedal to the metal and beat up on these teams and win series, stack series wins over the next 2 months, and could find yourself in first place in the division, which would be fantastic for this team. Looking forward to a series against the Cardinals. Where were you when the Phillies absolutely sent the Cardinals into a rebuild during the 2022 playoffs?
Amazing. Amazing.
Hopefully you take advantage there. You've got Spencer Turnbull on the mound Monday night, and then you've got Zach Wheeler, you've got Aaron Nola in this series, so you should be able to take advantage and win this series, hands down. I mean, the Phillies are 4-5 right now, a little less than ideal of what you'd want them to be, but there's still plenty of room for improvement, plenty of opportunity to take advantage of in these upcoming series, and I'm not panicking whatsoever through 9 games.
No. I mean, the Phillies have for the first time in however long, they could win their road start to the season if they, take 2 out of 3 or sweep the Cardinals?
I think if they sweep.
Yeah, if they sweep the Cardinals, which is definitely doable at this point. And that's something that can really turn this into
They've not had an above 500 road trip to start, like opening season road trip since 2011.
That's wild.
Time to shift that narrative a little bit. But I love the City Connects. Hate on me if you want. They look awesome. Debate your mothers. And shout out to John Middleton for giving me the time of day. And shout out to John Kroc, Milt Thompson, and the rest of the Phillies organization for a phenomenal event.
I hope Kroc enjoyed WrestleMania.
I'm sure he did.
I hope he did. You know, it was
a lot going on. Also got to meet the GOAT, Dewani, the legend. Yo, she is the best. She's the best. I gotta talk to her and see if I can get her on the show to just kind of tell her entire journey of art and fandom of sports and everything, because she's the best. It was so awesome to meet her. Shout out to Dewani. Check out her Etsy storefront. She's got some stuff coming. I'll just say that. She's got some awesome stuff
coming.
She's
up to something.
Let's take a look at the NL East and MLB run differentials.
Yes.
It is brought to you by our pals over at FOCO, the best forever collectibles in the game, from NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, college football and basketball, wrestling, entertainment. It's all officially licensed. The best, best, best. I got to hit up our FOCO rep and get me those short dolls, because
I saw
somebody put them on, and my goodness, does it let the thighs breathe.
Oh, really? Good.
The thighs are showing, and your boy needs to showcase these tree trunks this summer, FOCO. So we need to get those Philly short tails ready in action, show a little skin at Citizens Bank Park, and do the damn thing. You guys can do the same. Click the link in the description. Get all of your forever collectibles, from the overalls, the short tails, bobbleheads, amazing apparel. It's all available at foco.com. Link is in the description. Use our link. It really does help us out. So check out everything that FOCO has to offer, and shout out to FOCO for sponsoring the pod. Let's take a look at the NL East first, as we always do, Pat. It is the Atlanta Braves in first place, the Phillies in second place. The Mets and Nationals tied for third place, and then the Marlins in the basement. We'll start with the Braves, who are at 6-2. What do you think their run differential is?
All right, I'm going to go 6-2. They've been hitting, you said.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go plus 22.
You were so close. Plus 26.
All right, I'm in the ballpark.
Plus 26 for the Atlanta Braves. Then we go to the 4-5 Philadelphia Phillies.
They haven't been hitting. They haven't been. I'll give them the positive, though. I'll go, like, plus 5.
It's negative 8.
All right.
Negative 8.
13 off.
Getting close to digging out of the
13
hole,
off.
We're so close. Closer than we were last year.
Dig it up. Dig.
New York Mets, 3-6. Lol Mets.
Lol Mets. Are they negative as well?
Yes. Everyone else is negative.
Everyone else is negative. Okay. I'm going to go minus 13.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner!
Yay!
Minus 13 for the Lol Mets.
Meet the Mets.
Meet the Mets. You step suck. Right up and meet the Mets.
LOL. Oh, dance on Steve.
Is that
McAvoy's.
The first time you got?
That has to be like the first time.
There it is.
There we go.
Minus 13
it
for
been one time, but
the
like,
New York Mets.
That's incredible.
Then we go to the 3-6 stolen franchise, Washington Nationals.
Negative 26.
They are at minus 17.
Okay.
And then we go to the 1-9 Miami Marlins.
Oh, see, dude. They
who,
like,
I'm going to give you a fun little tidbit here. They have scored the second most runs in the division, but they've given up the most runs by far in the division.
See, that's the, I'm going to go like negative 4.
Minus 25.
Wow, okay. All right. Well,
then looking the rest of the National League, everyone in the NL Central but the Cardinals are at positives. The 8-2 Pittsburgh Pirates with a plus 18 leading the way. Then everybody in the NL West except for the Colorado Rockies and the San Francisco Giants are positive. The Dodgers at plus 9. The Padres are even Steven, Jerry.
They're even Steven, Jerry.
They're plus 0. They've scored 60, given up 60.
That's actually wicked funny.
Then the 4-6 Diamondbacks are plus 16. The Giants are minus 12, and the Rockies have the NL worst, minus 34. They've given up 76 runs on the year, which is the worst in all of baseball. We're on Rockies record watch this year, I feel like.
Oh, wait, do you have a future out or something?
No, just in general. Last year they were very close to being the first team to give up 1,000 runs.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, oh,
we're on Rockies watch.
Okay, I remember that whole thing we did. That was a lot of fun.
They've given up 76 already.
That is so much.
By far the most.
So many runs, dude. It is like the second week of April.
Yeah.
That's tough, dude.
Heading to the American League, the Boston Red Sox with the most runs scored and the biggest run differential in the AL East. They're sitting in second place in the division. They have a plus 26 run differential. The Yankees have a plus 10. The Orioles with a plus 15. Tampa Bay with a minus 9. Toronto with a minus 17. And then the most ridiculous division in baseball, the AL Central.
Oh, my favorite.
The Cleveland Guardians have a plus 32 run differential. The Tigers, who are only a game back of the Guardians at 6-3. Guardians are 7-2. The Tigers have a plus 1 run differential.
I love that.
The Kansas City Royals are 6-4, but they have a plus 19 run differential.
Wow.
The Minnesota Twins are 3-4. They have a minus 5. And the Chicago White Sox are 1-8, and they have a minus 26. And then the AL West, the Rangers, only team with a positive run differential. They're 6-3 with a plus 23 run differential. The Angels, minus 12. The Mariners, minus 21. The Houston Astros, minus 4. And your Oakland A's, yes, Oakland, I'm going to say Oakland, minus 20.
Sacramento.
For the Oakland A's. I know there's a very funny social media pitch to try to get the A's to move back to Philadelphia.
No, get the...
Which would be so funny.
I remember those days. I learned about those days in college.
That would be so funny.
That would be hilarious.
My good pal John Foley at 2008 Phils on Twitter, he writes, he covers the Phillies for PHLY. He was like, after the edibles hit, I found a foundational way to bring the A's back to Philadelphia and found a place to like build a stadium and map it all out. He mapped it out on the Maps app.
I mean, dude, that's more effort than the actual athletics organization is putting into their move. So shout out to him.
So yeah, there is your NL East and Major League Baseball run differentials brought to you by our pals over at FOCO. We also got to take a look in at the Platinum Plunk, but before we do, Pitts, got an update on the vehicle.
Oh, you got an update on the vehicle?
Got an update on the vehicle from CFO Margie. She texted me, said, can't get the parts till tomorrow. Your boy needs a radiator. Fantastic. We love life. We love life. We'll tell that story later on in the show.
Oh, so I'm walking to Philly.
As Drake Bell once said, we'll find a way.
We'll find a way.
Looking up the Platinum Plunk Award, which if you don't know what the Platinum Plunk is, it is our way of keeping track of Major League Baseball's hit-by-pitch category and the hitter who gets hit by the most pitches season.
We're
tracking it for a Phillies player, and we're tracking it for Major League Baseball as a whole. So I'm pulling up the stats here now for the 2024 MLB season for the old hitters. I don't know if any other Phillies have joined the fold. Last we checked in on Wednesday, Johan Rojas was leading the way for the Phillies, the only player to have been hit by a pitch so far this season. But looking here, I want to get batting, and I want to get standard batting. One second. I gotta favorite this tab on Baseball Reference. Shout out to them for being easy to navigate, but I just gotta tab it so I can bang.
You just gotta bang it out.
But last we checked, the leaders in the clubhouse, it was three hit-by-pitches so far this season. Which team-wise, should we give out a team Platinum Plunk Award too? Like, overall team who gets hit by the most pitches?
Dude, we could call it the Plunkies.
Might have to. Because right now,
is a good thing.
Hit-by-pitch, from what I can see, it is the Cleveland Guardians have had 12 hit-by-pitches.
The Guardians of 12?
12. Here we go. Player standard batting. Hit by pitch. So we have new leaders in the clubhouse.
Nice. Okay.
We have three players who have been hit by four pitches this season. Detroit Tiger, Mark Canha, Brendan Donovan from the St. Louis Cardinals, and Andrés Giménez from the Cleveland Guardians have all been hit by four pitches.
Jeez.
And then looking for Philadelphia to first pop up on the list, it is going to be...
Oh, it's going wild. Not a lot. Is a lot of people have four? Or a lot of people have three? Is that what it is?
I believe it's still Johan Rojas, leader in the clubhouse, with one.
All right. Something.
So Johan's still leading the way for the Phillies. They're not getting hit by a lot of pitches. But
that's
Johan...
good.
I think I was at the game that Johan got hit, too.
Oh, really?
So,
all right,
I witnessed the beginning of Johan's reign.
In the Plunkies.
But right now, Mark Canha, Brendan Donovan, Andrés Giménez, all with four hit-by-pitches. Chris Bryant, Freddie Freeman, Nico Hoerner, and Ryan Jeffers.
Nico Hoerner.
And Matt Wallner and Ramon Laureano, all with three. So
okay. They're
right behind on the tails, but we got three guys tied in the clubhouse with four. Johan Rojas leading it for the Fightins, and the Cleveland Guardians leading it as a team with 12 hit-by-pitches.
That's so insane. That is so insane.
They're averaging more than one hit-by-pitch per game.
Oh, yeah. How many games have there been? There's only been eight games, right?
There's been like eight or nine.
Yeah. There's only been like eight games.
Guardians have played nine games. They've got 12 hit-by-pitches.
Jeez.
It's crazy.
Control your pitches.
It's crazy. So there is your update on the Platinum Plunk Award. The 76ers, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Gutsy wins.
Yeah, you got to inform me because I was at the Ye Olde Link. So
it is brought to you by our pals over at Kenwood Beer, the official beer partner of Underground Sports Philadelphia. It's a refreshing light beer, just 4.1% ABV, only 120 calories, just 8 grams of carbs. Go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Finder to see who's got Kenwood beer on tap in the Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Maryland, and New Jersey areas. You can also get it at your local liquor stores in those markets. Check out the Kenny storefront as well to get awesome pint glasses, great Kenwood beer apparel, and much more. That's kenwoodbeer.com. Must be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. Sixers on a nice little streak here, Pat. They have won 5 games in a row. They beat the Raptors on Sunday, March 31st, beat the Thunder in Joel Embiid's return to the lineup. They beat the Miami Heat on Thursday night. They beat the Memphis Grizzlies on Saturday. And then yesterday, being Sunday, they were down in San Antonio. No Joel Embiid as he was resting with injury recovery. They go to double OT just about. Just about. They go to overtime against the San Antonio Spurs. Yes, double overtime against the Spurs. And pull out a 133-126 victory. Big time win. Kelly Oubre Jr., 26 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Nico Batum with one of the most clutch three-pointers I've ever seen in my life. I'll show you that video in a moment. Ricky Council the fourth in 22 minutes had 11 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and was a dog in overtime for the Sixers. And then the bell of the ball. It's always bigger in Texas. The only player to score 50 points or more while in high school and the NBA in the same arena. He fell to 21. That is Tyrese Maxey. Career high, 52 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, played 54 minutes.
We played 54 out of that double OT.
Yep.
So wait, it's 48, and then it's 5 minutes in overtime? So 48, 50, dude, that's a lot of minutes.
He played all but 4 minutes.
He does need to kind
of. Of the game.
You do need to kind of.
52 points. He almost scored a point per minute. Absolute beast. And the Sixers get a gutsy win where in years past, they lose that game. In the Doc Rivers era, the Sixers lose that game.
Oh, 1,000%.
They always.
Doc knows how to coach that
game. They lose that game. And this is a clutch win for the Sixers because the Pacers beat the Heat last night. So the Sixers leapfrogged the Heat and are now the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference. Just 1 game behind the Pacers for the 6th seed. 2 games behind the Cavs for the 5 seed. 2.5 games behind the Knicks for the 4 seed. And 2.5 games behind the Magic for the 3 seed.
Yeah, you ain't catching the Celtics, though, so that's okay.
Nobody's catching the Celtics. No, the Bucks are 15 games back of the Celtics.
Damn right they are.
Sixers have 3 games left.
Who's the coach of the Bucks? Dude, I think he's just all-time bag getter. Doc Rivers just finds himself in these situations.
He had to have gone to the Sam Bradford school for, like,
dead ass, bro.
Just pillaging.
Like, dude, because the Bucks fired their coach, and then he hops in. Now
and they
the
were
season.
30-13 with that coach or something. Like, some ridiculous record.
Imagine
with that coach.
Fired and, like, you crushing it that much. But
terrible.
Like,
terrible. Sixers have the Pistons on Tuesday. Should be able to win that game. You have the Magic on Friday. Hopefully win
that
game.
That'll be tough.
And then you have the Nets on Sunday to close out the regular season.
Wait, where are the Nets right now?
In the dumpster. They absolutely.
Oh, they're not in the playoff. So, no. Dude, you
the Nets are the 11 seed in the East right now. They're on the outside looking in.
So Ben Simmons isn't.
There's no way for them to make the playoffs. I think they're eliminated because they are 5.5 games back of the 10 seed, and there's only like 3 or 4 games left of the year. So,
oh, okay.
They're done. They're cooked toast. But I mean, if you beat the Magic, that's a huge game to swing you one way
it's
or the
other.
It's
a big swing game. That's a big swing game, absolutely.
So there's a lot that can come into play over the next 3 games before the playoffs, but who let the Sixers get hot?
Don't let the Sixers get hot.
This could be the year that the Sixers are the team that nobody wants to face because there's no expectation. And I think that's the difference with this team. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship. I'm not saying they're going to do anything spectacular, But this could be the year that people discredit the Sixers because they aren't a top three seed like they have been in years past. And there's no pressure on this Sixers roster because they aren't in a top three seed position where they can kind of just play loose, kind of play freely and be that menace towards the bottom of the standings and go into the playoffs and kind of play carefree basketball for the first time, probably since like 2018, when it was Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons at their peak together. Because obviously Embiid has gone on and surpassed any peak possible that you could have had for him. But when those two as a duo were at their peak, when you had Jimmy Butler here, like there's some nuance to that. And you have a coach who knows how to close out games like Nick Nurse. You know, if the playoffs started today, Sixers are playing the three seed Magic in the playoffs. And quite frankly, the Magic do not really scare me in a long series.
No.
And that's a benefit for the Sixers.
No, it is. The Magic are a very young team.
I'm sorry, they wouldn't play the Magic now, but if they got the six seed, they would. They play the Bucks right now, which...
That doesn't...
Bucks are beatable.
Bucks are very beatable. And the thing with the Sixers this year is that you do have that you're not top seed. I agree with that sentence that you don't want to play them. And I think a lot of the teams in the East, like the Magic being a three seed, they could get bounced pretty early. Let's look at here. I mean, the Knicks don't have Julius Randle for their playoff series. So that's another team that you don't have to, you know, worry about as much. You can strike for their Achilles heel there. And to be honest, like the Heat don't scare, like the Pacers scare me more than the Heat.
Yeah. Seriously. The Pacers are frisky.
There's a frisky team that when they get in there, it's a team you don't want to play. And the Heat, you know what the Heat are. Even if Jimmy Butler puts up 35, 40, that's all that they have to do. Mm-hmm. You just box out or double Adebayo, and then you're good.
I mean, it would be great to see opening round Heat Celtics.
I'm not going to lie. I would.
That'd be terrifying for you.
For me?
Oh, no. Yeah. That's a scary opening series for the Celtics.
Not for the Celtics.
Jimmy Butt, playoff Jimmy? That's a scary sight.
You said what? You said
it'd be 1-8.
So oh, Heat
Celtics.
Oh no, that doesn't scare me.
That's a terrifying opening series.
No.
If I was a Celtics fan, I would want anyone but the Heat in the first round.
Yeah, I'll take the Bulls.
Anyone but the Heat.
I'll take the Bulls.
Because right now, Sixers also need to get to that sixth seed so they don't have to play in the play-in.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Because they would have to play in the play-in before getting into the actual playoffs Avoid that at all costs.
Don't want to play in that play-in because that's just another sort of whole thing of nonsense.
Don't need that.
You don't need that at all.
So yeah, get that six seed. Maybe get the 5 or 4 or 3 if you can, you know, win that Magic game. That'll help a lot. But it's going to be a whole lot of craziness down the stretch here these next three games. So, but shout out to the Sixers. Gutsy wins over the past couple of games, and they've needed them big time.
Absolutely needed them.
And hey, you got one of the best players in the NBA back on your roster, so that's huge. Speaking of playoffs, it's not looking good for the Philadelphia Flyers. It is brought to you by our pals over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game, from sunglasses to blue light glasses, prescription lenses. They've got you covered. Tomahawk Shades has been rocking with us for years. You should be rocking with them. It is premium eyewear for a fraction of the big eyewear companies. Some of the best quality eyewear I've ever put on my face, if not the best. I wear the blue light glasses when I'm editing, when I'm watching TV, sports, shows, whatever it may be. I wear those in the house, and then I'm wearing the sunglasses when I'm outside, when I'm traveling. They are the best in the game. Go to TomahawkShades.com or download the Tomahawk Shades app in the App Store, Google Play Store. And when you go to checkout, when your cart's filled to the gills, use code USP for 25% off your order. That's 25% off your order at TomahawkShades.com. Or in the Tomahawk Shades app for 25% off with code USP. Yeah, the Flyers, it is not looking good. They are in a 7-game losing streak and kind of pulling an Eagles collapse.
They're flying down.
A 2018 to 2021 Phillies type collapse. They are on the outside looking in. The Islanders have a 2-point advantage over them right now for that final spot in the Metro. And then you're battling with the wild card with the Penguins, the Capitals, the Red Wings, and it's not ideal. You've lost to the Blue Jackets, who are not a good team. You lost to the Sabres, not a good team. You lost in overtime to the Islanders to give them the tiebreaker. You lost 5-1 to the Blackhawks, 4-1 to the Canadiens. And then that unfortunate overtime loss to the Rangers back last Tuesday, two Tuesdays ago on the 26th of March. The Flyers' last win was when they beat the Bruins 3-2 on March 23rd.
No shit, really?
They have lost every game since then.
This happens.
They've got 4 games left against the Canadiens, the Rangers, the Devils, and the Capitals. I've kind of just come to the conclusion that they're going to miss the playoffs.
Aww.
It's gotten to that point. It sucks.
And I was getting to be a fan of them. I was getting to be a stand with the Flyers. Look at how far I've came.
It blows.
The team I hate the most. I was like, come on, get in the playoffs at least. You guys got funny player names. I'm in.
Fuck Carter Hart.
Yeah.
And it just sucks that this team battled all year through adversity, through a bunch of things thrown their way, a lot of doubt, and right down the stretch when it mattered most, they have kind of come crashing back down to earth and going to need like a 2008 Eagles type of victory stance where, you know, you need this, that, and that to go your way, and then you also have to win like you did 44-6 against the Cowboys. They need a lot of help to get into the playoffs. It sucks. But I've kind of come to the conclusion that the playoffs probably are not going to happen for this team.
Darn. That's sad. That's a sad thing to see.
Which is a bummer. They're 2-5-3 in their last 10. Gonna need a miracle, and hopefully it can work out, but not looking great at this point for the Fly Guys. Last bit before we get into WrestleMania, it is brought to you by our pals over at Dead Threads. It's one of the coolest apparel thought processes that have come to life that I've ever seen. You take sports, pop culture, entertainment, and put it all together into an underground aesthetic, apparel line of shirts, sweatshirts, and I've seen them teasing on their stories. Hoodies may be coming soon, but they've got some incredible, incredible apparel for all of your favorite sports, from hockey, college basketball and football, NFL, NBA, MLB, which I'm sure more with MLB will be coming as the season progresses. But they've upgraded the Shohei Ohtani from the Angels to now the Dodgers. So that's pretty sweet. So if you got the Angels one, that's a sweet shirt. It's a samurai.
That is pretty sweet.
And they got the Ellie De La Cruz in there as well. Some awesome, awesome merch, and they've also got your tournament teams, which if you end up winning our bracket challenge,
ooh,
you'll be getting the old Connecticut Dead Threads shirt, and they've got some awesome stuff. And, of course, we're going to be sifting through the brackets once the national championship game is over
tonight,
and we'll be looking at the most dead brackets in our bracket challenge, and we'll be DMing you to let you know that you have won some dead threads, because your dead bracket needs to be rewarded. And Dead Threads is the best. So click the link in the description or go to deadthreads.shop, which is the link in the description. Click that. Use code underground for 10% off at deadthreads.shop. Click the link in the description, code underground at checkout for 10% off your order from Dead Threads. It's awesome stuff. Go check out everything they have to offer. They've added some new tabs. Coming soon.
Hey, all right.
So yeah, go check out everything that Dead Threads has to offer. It's some of the coolest merch in the game, and you're gonna like what you see. I guarantee it, because dead brackets equals dead threads. Pitsy, we got the national title game tonight as we record this.
We do.
Connecticut, Purdue, UConn versus Zach Edey, and it should be a good one, but I don't think it's going to top the women's championship game that happened on Sunday, where Pride of North Philly, Dawn Staley, finishes the undefeated season.
Finished her story.
38-0 with a brand new starting five from last year, because they all went to the WNBA, and they go 38-0, take down Caitlin Clark and Iowa for Dawn Staley's third national title at South Carolina. Congratulations to Dawn Staley. She is truly one of the GOATs and one of the best Philadelphians of all time. And I'm just saying, South Carolina won a title in 2017 with Dawn Staley, 2022 with Dawn Staley, now 2024. Birds are going to the bowl, boys. Ladies and gentlemen, the Eagles are going to Super Bowl this year.
I mean, that's book just, it. That's math.
Book it.
We just mathing up.
That's sports. That's boy math.
That's boy math. Thank you. I'm so happy you said. I hang out with too many girls, and there's like, it's girl math. It's girl math. I'm like, that's can I have math. My own thing? Can I have my own thing? It's boy math. So by boy math,
that's sports
standards,
math.
Sports math, tomato, potato. I think that we have to put in a future because of that. Because, like, that
go
just
birds.
Makes sense to me. That makes sense to me.
Pride but... North Philly right there. Right, shout out to Dawn Staley. She's the best. I would love to have Dawn Staley on this show.
That would be pretty cool.
I said it going into that game that, like, South Carolina was the better team. Caitlin Clark is an unbelievable talent and so fun to watch. But at the end of the day, especially with college sports, the better team always wins, and Caitlin Clark is only one player. And I love that Dawn Staley shouted her out too during the trophy acceptance and said, like, Caitlin Clark is one of the GOATs of our sport. And it's true. And I think this year, more than any, the women's tournament was far more entertaining than the men's. Far more entertaining. And that's awesome to see for the sport of women's basketball moving forward when it comes to the college game, when it comes to the Olympics, and of course when it comes to the WNBA. Philadelphia needs a WNBA team ASAP. But yeah, we got UConn going for the repeat. It would be the first repeat champion in men's college basketball since 2006-2007 Florida, which was just a loaded team. That was the Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, Al Horford Florida team. That was just ridiculous. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a very similar storyline where UConn is the better team. Zach Edey's an unbelievable type of player, but at the end of the day, the better team typically prevails when it comes to college sports in particular, so we'll see how it all shakes out, but very excited. We also, again, I know Matt and I talked about this last year when it came to the NBA Finals and everything. Why is the college national championship, the men's, starting at 9:45 Eastern time on a Monday night?
Yeah, that always...
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Dude, that is the most nonsensical thing, I think, in all of sports.
I don't give a flying fuck that this national championship is being played in Arizona and that it's 6:45 local time.
But it's still, like, when it's in the East Coast, it's still, like, 9:30.
It is 9:45 Eastern time tip-off. Which, you know, with commercials and buildup, that game's not starting until 10 o'clock 10:15. At the soonest.
No, 10:15. 10:15 tip off.
What are we doing?
Like,
people work on Tuesdays.
They do. I work
Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I work
shout
on
out to Sketch. What's up, brother?
What's up, brother? Like, they work on Tuesday. That's the day I go in early. And you think if you're trying to get me, you know, the champ of the peep sports guy, to watch that, you're not going to get me for at least the first... I'm going to fall asleep.
Terrible.
It just makes no sense. My
Why we
that,
cater to the West Coast is
because
so beyond absurd.
But my thing is, I understand them, like, catering to them a little bit with, like, entertainment stuff. But, like, for sports stuff, I feel like they should be catering to us. You know what I mean?
More than 50% of this country's population lives in the Eastern time zone.
Is that real?
Yes.
That's real?
Why are we catering to the West Coast when typically when it comes to West Coast sports, all they give a fuck about is the Dodgers and the Lakers?
Yeah, but not even the Dodgers. I mean, they leave.
That is all they care about.
They show up in the third and leave.
All
the
other West Coast sports time. Like, no, we need to stop. It is getting out of hand. 9:45 Eastern time for a national championship game is ridiculous.
What about, like, 9:30?
These kids have school tomorrow.
What about 9:30 on a different day? Why is it Monday? That's always something I, like, you...
Like, it was awesome that the women's game was 3 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday.
That
was great.
Beautiful.
It was great.
Because you're going to get the most amount of people to watch at that time.
It was awesome.
That's maximizing.
9:45 on a Monday night is criminal.
Dude, you're right in the middle of Raw. No one's watching it because Raw's on. I mean, you have you have Friday open. You could do it Saturday afternoon. I think that'd be a better time too.
Criminal.
Because then the restaurants could have like bars and shit. Like, no one's gonna go to a restaurant or a bar
at 9:45 p.m. Eastern time
on a Monday.
They're ridiculous. Sick of the West Coast pandering.
I know. It's absurd. I got to talk to Hollywood Pitts about that.
It's absurd. Fix it. Get your shit together. Put it all in a backpack.
Get it together.
Because it's your shit. Get your shit together. So, yeah, best of luck to UConn and Purdue, and we'll see who gets crowned the national championship and see who wins the 2024 Underground Madness Bracket Challenge and who has the most dead bracket of 2024. Pitts, it was your weekend.
Damn right it was.
It was your weekend.
Damn right it was. It was unbelievable, Kyle. I cannot put into words. As we see, you see here with the belt over my shoulder, I did get a title upgrade. It was much warranted. It makes more sense. So I got that. I also saw a couple people finish their story this weekend.
I have a take for you. Okay. So, obviously, everyone listening, watching, WrestleMania happened the weekend that we're recording this. And Cody Rhodes ends up winning and is named champion of the WWE. He did it in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Cody Rhodes' championship is a Philadelphia championship.
You guys are clinging to everything.
Cody Rhodes is clinging to Cody everything. Rhodes, Philly guy confirmed.
Dude. Stop, Clay.
Cody Rhodes, South Philly Cody.
Well, technically, dude, that means Damian Priest, that's a Philly championship.
Yep.
He won.
What?
Rhea Ripley. She
what?
When she defended it.
Logan Paul, champion.
Logan Paul, champion. Bailey. Bailey won
champ.
The women's match. We saw four titled champions.
Sami Zayn, champ.
Austin Theory, Grayson Waller. R-Truth.
Champ.
The Miz.
Champ.
Just everyone winning this weekend. That's a champ in Philly. And oh my God.
Hang the Cody Rhodes banner at the link.
Ridiculous. Dude, it was the most nonsensical ending to any type of show I've ever watched because it legitimately felt like.
But also, remember the build-up to WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes gave an interview where he said his favorite arena to wrestle in is the Wells Fargo Center. Cody Rhodes is a Philly guy.
A lot of history in Philly.
He's a Philly guy through and through.
Dude, it was, yeah, he's, I mean.
His nickname is what, the American Nightmare?
It's the American Nightmare.
Dreams and nightmares. We have deduced on this show that nightmares are dreams, and we're living the dream. Shout out Meek Mill.
His dad was the American Dream.
Shout.
And he's a nightmare.
Meek.
You're just making this.
Meek. Philly. Cody Rhodes, Philly guy confirmed. You're welcome,
dude,
America.
That's so funny.
It's a Philly championship.
That's not what I
expected. It's a Philadelphia championship.
Was that what you were saying
yes.
to me before? I hate you.
Cody Rhodes,
I
a Philadelphia
hate
champion.
You so much. Dude,
you can't
was,
tell me otherwise.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. Like, it legitimately felt like I was on set for Endgame. Like, that type of ending. I mean, it legitimately felt like I had Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, all of them going up.
I was cackling when he came out with the skeleton head because somebody quote tweeted it. It was like, I'll get you next time, He-Man.
The skeleton mask was such a good touch, too. But then you said,
I am Skeletor.
Dude, that was, and he came up from the bottom, too. Like, oh, it was incredible.
I mean, also, Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson, champs.
Oh, dude, they're champs in their own way.
Rey Mysterio doesn't have to buy a beer in Philadelphia ever again.
Ever again. I mean, dude, when
wore Jason Eagles pants.
We wore Eagles pants. And
Lane
then,
Johnson wore Big Dom shirt.
Yo,
Big Dom in attendance.
He was there. I saw them come out of the crowd. And I saw these two dudes in Lucha masks, and I'm like, those are Eagles players. Didn't know who because my seats weren't that close. And the Sarah, my friend next to me, she's like, "What are you like? Who are they?" Like trying to figure out who it is. And I'm like, they're Eagle players. And then as soon as you see Jason Kelsey get up there and just do this,
I was like, yes. Like, this is exactly what I needed for Saturday Night One of Mania, was Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson to help Rey Mysterio get a win against his son. That, like, that is exactly what I needed on a Saturday night and got it.
And Jordan Mailata was in a suite yesterday. And his wife posted a TikTok that was captioned, "When your husband gives himself a headache from screaming at WrestleMania." And it was just a sequence of events. And then the very end, he's laying on a couch in the suite with a hat over his face like this.
Yeah.
Because he gave himself a headache.
I was screaming. The Undertaker's gong hit and I felt my spirit leave my body. I legitimately...
Philly champ, he ring the bell. Undertaker, Philly's guy.
Is he a Philly guy?
He likes the Phillies. He just rang the bell.
Oh, he did ring the bell? You guys just...
That... You're just... That gong hit, that's ringing the bell, baby. Batter up.
Fuck you.
John Cena, Philly champ.
That's alive. John Cena is my guy. That's a Boston guy. Don't take him. Hollywood's
won
already
a Philly
taken
champion.
Him. I'm not taking... You're not taking Cena from me. Oh, he, dude, it was just incredible. Like, and I'm going back to the Wells Fargo tonight. Cody Rhodes' favorite place to wrestle. So, going back for Raw.
Cody Rhodes, Philly champion. Can't tell me otherwise. Also, his belt, I saw somebody retweeted his post. The belt has an eagle on it.
Oh, the winged eagle?
You can't make this up.
The winged eagle.
Go Birds. You can't make this up. You can't script this.
I mean, technically. I mean, they have all the people, writers and stuff, but like, yeah.
You can't script that. He's a Philly champ.
You can't script fate, Kyle.
Shout out to my guy, Jeff McDevitt, too. He works social for the WWE.
He was crushing it, dude. Crushing it this weekend.
A menace. He's the best.
There's no event like a WWE.
Did you see the video? Somebody lifted up the skirt of the ring and somebody was under.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where Hornswoggle hangs out.
Someone was like, someone also posted a video of The Undertaker, like, running.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude. That was so funny to try to, like.
And someone was like, nah, this video's fake.
Yeah, this video's fake. He doesn't run. He just, like, appears out of midair.
Someone was like, you're meaning to tell me him and The Rock just didn't disappear?
Like, they just disappeared.
And someone said, he only has magic powers when he has the cape. He's like,
he
Clark
doesn't
Kent.
Have the cape anymore.
He's
he
like
doesn't.
Clark Kent. He, that was.
Under Biker Taker is just Mark.
Dude,
it's
he
Clark
was
Kent.
Running like Rocky.
He was hauling ass. I saw that. He was hauling. That was incredible, dude. That was just.
Lil Wayne in attendance.
Lil Wayne.
My goat.
Dude, I was actually on
T-Pain
my way.
T-Pain in attendance.
I was on
another
my way to
one
the
of my
bathroom,
goats.
As Lil Wayne was performing. And then I like heard him drop a milli and I just booked it to the closest
the
section to just see him. And then the Jey Uso, just the this. Is without a doubt one of my favorite interactions. Because
Philly champ.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you.
You know who else is actually Philly guy, though?
Who?
Ricochet, Philly guy.
Is he really?
He's an Eagles fan.
Oh, I didn't know that Ricochet's an Eagle. Okay.
Eagles fan. Big okay. Eagles fan.
Really? Well, his.
Found that out this weekend.
I mean, let's give flowers.
When we were at Wally Mania.
Oh, dude.
He was wearing a Jalen Hurts jersey.
Anyone who went to Wally Mania. Champion. They got all those people on the stage. All those people.
Guinness Book of World Records.
Dude, there was at least 1,300 people on that
stage.
It was
absurd.
Absolutely insane. Ugh.
But yeah, Ricochet, big Eagles fan.
His wife or fiance, whatever, is actually my champion of the weekend. Like, you could call it whatever you want, champion. She, Samantha Irvin, she announced every single match, like, you know, ring announcer, all that. And she has, without a doubt, the best voice in WWE.
I think the only disappointment that would have sent South Philly into a frenzy was that Stone Cold Steve Austin was at his ranch with his cat.
He just played with cats, little kitty. He was getting litty kitty. It's okay.
That was a bummer, because National Beer Day.
When you told me that it was National Beer Day, as I walked up the stairs to go, I was, that like solidified.
That glass shatter would have fed families for generations in South Philly.
Been launched, like I would have just
ascended. Even though he's technically a Texas guy, Stone Cold's Philly guy. The way that Philadelphia champion Stone Cold Steve Austin in so much just like propaganda is absurd.
So my hat, so the hat I'm wearing right now, that's when Stone Cold won a championship in Philly, because this Mania was in Philly. So.
Like, there was a video champion. When our guy, friend of the program, Mike Scott, was walking into a game and somebody just edited Stone Cold glass shatter and music over top of.
It's iconic. Like, it's so iconic. I mean,
it would have fed families for generations.
Cody Rhodes is champ. That's
Cody
all
Rhodes, Philadelphia zone. Philly zone. What? YouTube comment section. What neighborhood, what county would Cody Rhodes be from?
Oh, good. That's a good question. That's a good question.
Where would he be from? Delco, Montco, South Philly, North Philly. Definitely not North Philly. Cody Rhodes might be a Fishtown guy.
He's a blue collar guy.
Cody Rhodes might be a Fishtown guy.
Give you a little insight.
Might be a South Philly guy. But yeah, let us know in the YouTube comments there. Cody Rhodes, Philadelphia zone. Philly champ right there. Philly guy confirmed.
That's what I have to do. This is it.
Where's he actually from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
That makes it even better.
He's from
Atlanta. The Braves.
He's from Atlanta, Georgia. Or Savannah, Georgia.
Marietta, Georgia.
Marietta, Georgia. That's it. Yeah, he's a Georgia guy.
Yeah, he's a Philly guy now. Sorry about it.
Cody Rhodes, that was not what I expected you to say.
From here,
when you precursored this before recording, it's like I'm gonna take. I have a take, and I'm not telling you, but I want to see your opinion. And it's this:
Cody Rhodes from here.
Cody Rhodes.
Shout out Jason Kelce. Shout out Lane Johnson. They're technically like champions, right? Is that how that works?
Who?
Lane and Jason Kelce, like they're like.
What was the singles match?
They're like featured artists.
They would be featured like on it. Like they're the guests, a special guest on.
They're
track.
Like the former players on like a Super Bowl team that like they just got traded that year, but the team gives them a ring anyway.
I would say that, yeah. Yeah, one of those guys.
They get like a sliver of the belt.
Yeah, they only get like the side.
They get like a piece
of
the leather.
Like a side. They get the side, see that? Like they get one of these. That's what they would get for winning.
Rey Mysterio from here.
No.
From here.
You're just claiming everyone who wrestles with me. It's like, oh, that Philly guy.
Anyone who won. Claimed a championship here.
No.
Hashtag right. From here.
ECW actually was started here, and we saw a lot of ECW this weekend. From Paul Heyman getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. That was awesome.
Bro, he was distraught. There's a picture of him.
He lost?
You would have thought somebody killed his dog.
Well, yeah, that's what happens when his tribal chief gets absolutely annihilated by the Cody Vengers. Like, dude,
Cody Vengers.
The Cody Vengers. No, it's iconic. That's your guy. That's your Philly guy.
Yeah,
you
can't call it.
You
Cody
can call it.
Vengers.
It's the Cody Vengers. It's the Cody Vengers. You have Jey Uso. You have John Cena. Undertaker. And Seth Rollins. That's a hell of a squad. That's my end game. And oh, I had this thought when I was pooping. Why Steve Austin wasn't there? Because Endgame, he was blipped. He didn't make it out of the blip. Because Endgame.
Yeah, but everyone came back.
Not everybody.
Yeah, everybody came back.
Well, Yelena didn't.
She wasn't even introduced yet.
But she was blipped, and she's a...
Yeah, but the blip happened in 2018 in Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
And then it's a 5-year period, and the Endgame happens in 2023.
Yeah.
So when everyone comes back through the portals, when they do the snap, that's when the blip gets undone.
Yeah, she just didn't make it to the... Yeah, he's just...
Steve Austin's just an X-Men.
He's there it is! That's what I was looking for. He's just the X-Men. He's Deadpool.
Didn't make it out of the Fox universe yet.
Didn't make it out of Sonyverse. Morbius.
God forbid. Good grief. Rate this WrestleMania out of 10.
10. Straight up. That was one of the better WrestleManias I've ever witnessed, live or on a screen. It's a new era, for sure. And when we're moving away.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith.
Dude, it's a new era.
It's a different era. Get over it.
Dude, it's a new day. Yes, it is. It's unbelievable. And
Kofi, Philly guy. Phillies fan.
He's Boston. Stop taking my guy.
Kofi's a Phillies fan.
Kofi went to Boston College.
That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. He's a Phillies fan. I'm the Phillies fan.
Kofi confirmed to John Kruk on Phillies broadcast that he's a Phillies fan.
Okay, well,
his kids love Bryce Harper.
Well, who doesn't love Bryce Harper? I mean, I love Bryce
Braves
Harper.
Fans.
True. Cody Rhodes probably doesn't like Bryce Harper.
No, Cody's a Philly guy.
Okay, well.
Cody would probably love to take batting practice with Bryce Harper.
Imagine Cody Rhodes taking batting practice. He'd hit it, crush it. It was, dude, I'm not kidding. It was the best wrestling show I've ever been to, hands down.
I saw someone tweet top like the 5 minutes of like everyone coming out. I was like, I've never done drugs, but I feel like this is what doing heroin is like.
It kind of is. Like it literally felt like for a good 5 to 10 minutes, I was in a fever dream. Because the amount of people that were coming out, and it got to a point where they hit the Shield music. And for you who don't know who the Shield are, really,
they stole that from Marvel. Agents of Shield.
Fucking. Because the end game. So Shield hits, and because of how many people came out, not every WWE fan was delusional and thought it was the third member of that former faction who's in the rival promotion now was going to come out. And then you saw Seth Rollins, but like we were so delusional because of how like the fever dream was going that we legitimately thought someone from another promotion was going to show up. Like that's how insane it got. And I haven't felt like that in a very, very long time as a wrestling fan.
Well, I also saw a tweet that they said they are getting away from using the term sports entertainment.
Good. They should. It's not sports entertainment is kind of what professional sports are at this point. It is. This is professional wrestling. Like
this fucking guy.
It is. It's not this fucking No, it is. I mean, dude, you could just it's the same teams every year in professional sports. Don't make me go down that rabbit hole.
Dude, I
could go off about that. How professional sports mimics professional wrestling. Mirrors it.
No, because if that was the case, the Phillies would have won the 2022 World Series.
Well, they need
because it would have been every National League East team beating the Astros. Because the Nationals did it, the Braves did it.
Okay, but still, I'm thinking more football.
I mean, this WrestleMania was kind of like the Super Bowl 52.
52, yes.
You had the big bad dogs, and then you had the underdogs.
I know. No, Roman Reigns was definitely the Tom Brady in that, and then you had Big Dick Cody coming in and his whole motley crew. Oh, it was awesome. It was without a doubt the best event I've ever been to. Sports.
You heard it here first. Cody Rhodes, Philly guy, bro.
I hate you so much. I hate you. That is this. That's, oh.
I am pumping that narrative.
Yeah, you too. If that's a story that you want to pump and finish.
I'm pumping that narrative to everyone. I tweeted at Dewani. I said, Cody Rhodes, Philly guy confirmed. Because she tweeted, it will always be Cody Rhodes finished the story in Philadelphia.
No, that's a fact. Cody Rhodes will have finished the story in Philadelphia, winning a championship.
You're welcome, America.
You gave me a moment, so.
You're welcome, America.
You gave me a moment. I did cry during that match, so. I have no shame. No shame.
That's all we got for this episode. Make sure you guys are following us on the socials at UndergroundPHI, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook.com/UndergroundSportsPHI, Twitch.tv/UndergroundSportsPHI. You can follow me on Twitter at KBIZZL311, KBIZZLE11 on Instagram and Threads. We will tell the travel story on Wednesday's show because it's just a lot to unpack, and we had a lot to unpack on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to get Pitsy at the Wells Fargo Center. So you can follow Pitts on Twitter at Pat_Pitts and on Instagram and Threads at at Pitsy35. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts in audio form. But subscribe on those two platforms in particular. Leave a 5-star rating and review in the Apple podcast reviews. Let us know what county Cody Rhodes would be from in Philadelphia. Be a friend, tell a friend to subscribe. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel, youtube.com/@UndergroundSportsPhiladelphia. It's where you get full video episodes of this show twice a week, full video episodes of every show on our network, clips, shorts, live streams, original video content. It's all on our YouTube channel. We're at 759 subscribers. Let's get to 800 before the end of April. And in the YouTube comment section, again, let us know what county Cody Rhodes would be from in Philadelphia because he's a Philly guy. We need to figure this out. I say Fishtown or South Philly. Let us know. Get your merch, phiapparel.co, code underground for 10% off your order. Maybe we'll make a Philly Rhodes. All roads lead to Philly.
All right, to be honest with you, that's kind of fire. I get it. All roads lead to Philly, and it's, yeah.
And, of course, This podcast is presented by the City of Vineland, and whether you're a company looking to expand, relocate, or you're a new business startup, selecting the right location is critical to your success. Vineland, New Jersey offers both an affordable business location and an excellent quality of life. The city's economic development department is a one-stop source for moving your project through the development and approval process, and their goal is to make this process as smooth as possible and to provide the fastest turnaround times in the region. If you're considering potential locations for your operation, contact the Vineland Economic Development Team at 856-794-4100. That's 856-794-4100. Vineland, New Jersey, where it's always growing season. And big thank you to Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated and Security 21 Security Systems for their continued support of this podcast. This has been episode number 627 of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Cody Rhodes, hashtag from here. Let's go Phils, let's go Sixers, let's go Flyers, and we're very, very close to the NFL draft, which we will have our draft extravaganza first round live stream going down as well. But for Pitts, I'm KB. We'll catch you guys Wednesday night, but until then, we're getting the heck up out of here, and we are signing off. Peace.